The Levitical was the earthly priesthood, the divine, the heavenly. Number six, therefore he did not begin the work of making the atonement, whatever the nature of that work may be, till after his ascension, when he, by his own blood, entered the heavenly sanctuary for us. Now, that's the original teaching of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And Ellen G. White puts her sanction on it. I just read it to you from A Word to the Little Flock here. Let me read you what she says about that article again. And we need to get our feet down on the ground. I believe what? The sanctuary to be cleansed at the end of the 2300 days is the New Jerusalem temple. Where's that? Is that down here or up heaven? Heaven, of which Christ is the minister. The Lord showed me who? The brethren? The committee. No, the Lord showed me more than 1 year ago, and the date on this is February 7, 1846, so a year before that would be what? 1845, in February or March or somewhere along in there. And how many months is that after 1844, October? 5 or 6 months, friends. Now I'll tell you, God didn't waste any time setting the Adventist Church on sound, straight theology when he began it. Thank God for that. He didn't give us an evolutionary process of discovering a little truth there and adding a little bit more some couple of months later and this person adding that and so forth and so on. That is not the way the Adventist Church was started. The Adventist Church was started, friends, on this manuscript. Incidentally, O.R.L. Crozier had two other men helping him. One was Hiram Edson, and if you remember, Hiram Edson's the man who was walking across the cornfield, and he was all puzzled about 1844 and what happened. And what happened? He said he heard a voice speak to him and say, it's not the world, but the heavenly sanctuary that Jesus went into in October 22nd, 1844. I tell you, we as Seventh-day Adventists have a nailed-down, hard-as-rock foundation. And you can't tamper with it. If you do, you're off the foundation. Continuing to read this again. Let's see. The cleansing of the sanctuary, etc., and that it was his will that Brother C., that's Crozier, should write out the view which he gave us in the Daystar Extra, February 7, 1846, and I just read to you what he says about it from that article and that pamphlet, because it's reprinted here. You know, God knew what was going to happen, so he gave every Adventist preacher a copy of Crozier's article back in the 1940s. So that we would be fully armed and not deceived and misled. I'm so glad God knows ahead of time and that he doesn't let us wander around in darkness and uncertainty. The last part of it, I feel fully authorized by whom? God, the Lord, to recommend this article I just read to you from to every saint. Now, you ought to get a copy. We ought to reprint it or something like that. So the Adventist Church, friends, was founded on solid bedrock. And Ellen G. White was right there, and she was taking part in it. Let me read to you what she says about it. Special Testimony Series B. You have it? Anybody here have it? That's on the CD. I like my little book better because I can't carry the CD around. Let me read to you what she says. And then I'm going to read to you what the brethren say. Here's what she says on page 54 of number 2. The enemy of souls has sought to bring in the supposition that a great reformation was to take place among Seventh-day Adventists, and that this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith. What does she predict? The devil's going to come into the Adventist church, and he's going to tempt us to give up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith. Then we go on down here, and engaging in a process of reorganization. Were this reform to take place, what would be the result? The principles of truth that God in His wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. Our religion would be changed. The foundation principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted errors. A new organization would be established. Books of a new order would be written. The system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would be doing exactly what they're doing today. Friends, listen carefully. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. You're reading about it in the review. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded as also the God who created it. Nothing will be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice, but God being removed, they would place their dependence on human power, which without God is worthless. Their foundation would be built on the sand, and storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. Well, I want to read you some other things from this book. I tell you, you need to dig into all of these things. Now we come to the one that is slaughtered in one of these books that I have here. And this says, many of our people do not realize how firmly the foundations of our faith has been laid. My husband, listen carefully, Elder Joseph Bates, Father Pierce, who happened to be an elderly man, Elder Edson, and others who were keen, noble, and true, were among those who, after the passing of the time in 1844, not 48 or 50 or sometime later, but in 1844. How long is that after the disappointment? Well, just weeks, friends. Best a month. She says they met in 1844 and searched for truth as for hidden treasure. Now listen carefully. I met with them. Who was there? Ellen G. White. Only her name was Harmon. Just a young girl. I met with them, and we studied and prayed earnestly. Often we remained together until late at night, and sometimes through the entire night, praying for light and studying the Word. Again and again, these brethren came together to study the Bible in order that they might know its meaning and be prepared to teach it with power. When they came to the point in their study where they said, we can do nothing more, listen carefully, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me, and I would be taken off in vision, and a clear explanation of the passages we were then studying would be given to me. What was God doing, friends? He was starting his last church on a inspired, solid foundation, and he wasn't leaving it up to human beings. Continuing. Let's see. With instruction as to how we were to labor and teach effectively. Thus light was given that helped us to understand the scriptures and listen to the topics in regard to Christ, his mission, and his priesthood. What did they get in 1844 after the passing of the time? Continuing, a line of truth extending from that time to the time when we shall enter the city of God was made plain to me, and I gave to others the instruction the Lord had given me. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that God didn't leave it up to human beings to found the Adventist Church. He didn't leave it up to conference committees to decide what was truth. He didn't leave it up to the membership, friends. When they couldn't agree or couldn't figure out a passage, what did God do? He took a teenage girl that was there in the group and gave her a vision. This is all being denied today by the Adventist Church. The next verse, the next paragraph says, during this whole time, I could not understand the reasoning of the brethren. My mind was locked, as it were, and I could not comprehend the meaning of the scriptures we were studying. This was one of the greatest sorrows of my life. I was in this condition of mind until all the principal points of our faith were made clear to our minds. How many? It doesn't leave any out, does it? Were made clear to our minds in harmony with the Word of God. The brethren knew, what did they know? That when not in vision, I could not understand these matters, and they accepted as light direct from heaven the revelations given. I'll tell you, God was very interested in starting the Seventh-day Adventist Church, don't you think so? And he was very interested in their getting started on the solid, true platform of truth. And he took a teenage girl and put her in a committee meeting or a group of believers, and he blocked her mind so that she couldn't understand anything they were saying, so that nobody could say when she had a vision, well, you're siding with Elder so-and-so, or you're siding with so-and-so. Because she didn't understand what so-and-so was saying. I tell you, we have a marvelous God, and we have a wonderful church that was miraculously started by God on a solid, immovable platform of truth. And we don't appreciate it. Or we don't even know it. Now, would you like to know how our good friend Froome renders what I just read to you? Would you like to have me read it to you? I'll read it to you. Any of you have this book? Movement of Destiny, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, by Froome. A little bit later on, I'll tell you some things about Froome.
Take a headline.
Now, I just read to you that Ellen G. White met with him in 1844, right? Now, either she's a big liar or he's a big liar. The headline here says, Sanctuary Presented Before Ellen G. White's Call. The doctrine of the sanctuary was